Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we just sang that chorus a few minutes ago. I am blessed. I am blessed.
Amen.
Every day that I live, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or you put your head to rest at night, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We are a blessed people. Sometimes I think we really don't understand how blessed that we are as a people. I know there's sometimes we get kind of whiny, feel sorry for ourselves and everything else, and we think, you know, that God's turned his back on us. But we're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed. You know, the word blessed occurs 302 times in the King James Version. The word blessing occurs 67 times. And the word bless occurs 127 times. Do you think Father God is trying to make a point here about blessing? That's a lot of times. He talks about being blessed. Blessed can sometimes be a past tense word. Something that's happened in the past. We've been blessed in the past. We're blessed right now. God is blessing us. And we will be blessed in the future. Blessed. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 22. It says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let fowls multiply in the earth. That was the first time the word blessed was used in Scripture, where he blessed the things that he created here. God put a blessing upon this planet. And of course, through sin, curse came in. But God is still around wanting to bless his people and bless his creation. He wants to bless each and every one of us. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Just some familiar things that probably all of us are acquainted with in Scripture, of blessings that took place. Like I said, the word blessed alone is in there 302 times, and blessing 67 times and bless 127 times. That's a lot of times. We wouldn't have time this morning to go to every place that those words occur. So we go to some familiar ones this morning of chapter 12 of Genesis verses 1 through 3. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. And thy name, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. My! What he's laying on Abram there. If you'll do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you. If you'll go where I tell you to go, I'm going to bless you. And through you, you will be a blessing to those that are around you. Through us as Christians, the spiritual seed of Abraham, we have God's blessing upon our lives. And we can, should be a blessing to those that are around us. It's sad to say, though, that sometimes a lot of people who claim to be Christians anyway, they're not really a blessing to others. In fact, sometimes they do more harm than they do good. We need to be a blessing to those that are around us. So he's saying to Abram, get out of the country that you're in. You know, the country that Abraham lived in, or Abram lived in at that time, historically, was a major city. I mean, it was the place to be. You know, some people, they want to live in the big city, you know, and the place to be, you know, like New York City or Los Angeles, or some people, if I could only go to some of these places. I've never been to New York City, and quite honestly, If anybody listens to this on CD that's from New York, I don't want to offend you, but I don't want to go to New York City. You know? I have no desire to go there. I'm not all that fond of Los Angeles anymore. But here it was. It was a place where they had everything. That was the one thing I did like about living in the L.A. area. It's whatever you wanted, you could go to the store and buy it. And I found when we moved to Tennessee, some things I wanted, I had to order from someplace else because they just couldn't get it here. But that's okay. God said to Abram, get out of this city where you've got everything that your heart could desire and go to a place that I am telling you to go. And if you do that, I am going to pour out a blessing upon you, upon your seed, and upon your children's children on down the line. You will be a blessing. But you've got to do what I tell you to do. So blessings can be past, present, or future. There's a couple of other examples. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. He says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Now this is again God speaking to Abram, or Abraham. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to pour out this blessing upon you. And I'm going to multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens. A blessing. Why was God blessing Abraham so much? Like I said, because of obedience. Now let's get an example of Abraham's obedience that I'll quite honestly tell you, I think I would have had an awful hard time doing what God asked Abraham to do. Because you see in Genesis chapter 22 verses 15 through 16, he says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this and not withheld thy son, thine only son. What's going on here? You see, God spoke to him and said, I want you to take your son Isaac. I want you to get up on the top of the mountain. And I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Man, I'll tell you. I would imagine if God spoke to us to sacrifice our only child like that, we'd have an awful hard time with it. We'd probably do a lot of questioning. Lord, can I get back to you on this? But Abraham was obedient. He took his son up there. You know, Isaac got a little curious on the way up there. Hey, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. We got everything we need for the sacrifice, Dad. There's just one thing missing. Where's the sacrifice? I mean, he's beginning to get the drift here a little bit. And Abram says, God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. Time comes. He's got Isaac on the altar. You know, Isaac had to be obedient too. Abraham was an old man at this point. Isaac, a young man. He could have knocked Dad down and took off down that mountain and never seen him again. It could have went that way. But Isaac had to be obedient as well. And there he is. He's got him on the altar. He's got the wood. Got the fire. Ready to start the wood on fire. He's got the knife. He's got it raised back. Ready to start that downward plunge. To sacrifice Isaac. And at that time, God stopped him. You see, God never wanted Isaac as a sacrifice. He just wanted Abraham to be obedient. Because God did what Abraham said. He provided a sacrifice. Because then Abraham finds there's a ram who's caught in the thicket out there. And it becomes the sacrifice. But because he was obedient, God blessed him. We also know that a blessing can be lost. Blessings can be lost. Generally, it's through our own actions that we lose a blessing. Things that we do, that we lose a blessing. I think one of the strongest stories of a blessing being lost is in the story of Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis chapter 27, we find the story there of where Isaac, who is now blind basically, can barely see, just kind of sees shadows a little bit. He's getting ready to die, and he says to Esau, who is his firstborn, albeit by minutes at the most, he says, "Go fix me some of that venison that you're famous for fixing." You know, you ever drive around and see these places to eat, and it says world famous, you know? And you wonder how they became world famous, especially when you went in and ate and it was horrible, but, you know. He said, "Fix me some of your world famous venison that you can do so well." Because Esau was a great hunter. "Fix it for me. And then I'm going to bless you. Because you're the firstborn." And Mama, she overhears the conversation, says to Jacob, "Go out there and rustle up something out of the corral out there. And he's so old, he's not going to know the difference. And I'll cook it for you. And we'll take and put some goat hair on your arms there so that you'll feel hairy like your brother. And he'll never know the difference." Time comes. Jacob takes in his meal that Mama has fixed. Voice doesn't quite sound right. And Isaac says, "Who is this?" "Why, it's me, Esau." "Your voice sounds a little bit funny, Esau." People do that, you know. "Let me feel your arms." "Well, okay, feels hairy there, you know." Okay. Eats the stuff. And blesses him. And what happens? Esau gets back. "Dad, I got the stew for you." "Sorry, son. It's too late. Your blessing's been lost. I blessed your brother instead." But you know why his blessing was lost? It wasn't because Mama connived right then. You see, it goes back to that day, sometime in the past, when Esau came in and he was hungry and Jacob was cooking a bowl of beans. You see, we can lose our blessing sometimes over something as simple as a bowl of beans. Because he came in and said, "Oh, I'm about to die. I haven't eaten since yesterday. I'm about to die." None of us would starve to death because we haven't eaten since yesterday. None of us would starve to death if we hadn't eaten for 3 or 4 days. It takes a long time to starve to death. It takes more than a couple of days anyway. "I'm hungry. I'm about to die. Feed me some of those beans." What does his brother say? "What did he give me?" "Whatever you want." That was the most expensive bowl of beans in history. "I'll give you my birthright." He lost it right then. "I'll give you my birthright." And because of that, it was his brother, Jacob, that received the birthright blessing. Yes, Isaac bestowed a small blessing upon Esau, but it was nothing like the blessing that went to Jacob. Because Esau had lost his birthright, his blessing over a bowl of beans. And sometimes we lose our blessing from God over something stupid. And that's what it was. It was something stupid. I mean, after all, here's the guy that's known for cooking this world famous venison stew. And he can't fix himself something to eat. Instead, he has to give up his birthright for that bowl of beans. So blessings can be lost. Here's what it has to say. "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed.' What I have blessed is blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me even also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. Blessings can be lost. Sometimes blessings take perseverance. Sometimes we got to work at it to be blessed a little bit. Sometimes we got to hang in there a little bit to be blessed. We go back to this same Jacob. I mean, he's had to leave home over this deal. Because Esau, if you go on reading where we were just at, says Esau plotted to kill him, but he was going to wait till Dad died. The minute Dad was buried, Jacob was a dead man. That was what Esau's plan was. I'll kill him, and then I'll still have the blessing. So Jacob had to leave home. And of course, most of you know the story. He goes away, and there he gets married twice. He meets a conniver that's greater than he is, his future father-in-law. Outsmarted him there. At the wedding, finds out, oh, by the way, you've got to marry the first daughter first, then you can have the other one you want. But you've got to do it my way, you know. And 14 years he worked for that woman. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to work 14 years for Mary. But she would have been worth it. Anyway, he's headed back home now. And I tell you, I'd be like he was probably a little bit. He was a little bit more than nervous about going back home. About meeting up with Brother Esau. Because he didn't know at this point, 14 years later, Brother Esau still had that grudge. And if Brother Esau was going to be waiting with a group of people ready to kill him and take everything he had. But the time has almost come. The meeting is about to take place. And in Genesis chapter 32, verses beginning with verse 24, it says, and here, just kind of set the stage here, they're camped out on the way back home. They're almost there. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Let me stop right there. Jacob persevered in this wrestling with this man. And it says, and when the man realized that he was going to win here, it says he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. Okay. It says, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I don't think I've ever had anything out of joint in my legs or anything like that, but I know sometimes you get a cramp in your legs or something like that. And I used to have a problem with my knee that the cartilage would, because there's a piece of broken cartilage in there, would get stuck, and it was painful. So I imagine this was kind of painful. I mean, Jacob could have given up right there and said, okay, I'm in too much pain. But he continued to wrestle. He persevered. And it says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, that being Jacob, said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now we learn right here that this was no ordinary man that Jacob was wrestling with. He said, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. I need your blessing. And of course, at that point, it says the angel of the Lord in King James Bible says, blessed him. Now, one thing you want to learn when you're reading the King James or any translation, when it talks about an angel of the Lord, that can be an angel, or it can be referring to God himself sometimes, or to Jesus. A lot of folks who are greater scholars than I am believe that Jacob was actually wrestling with the pre-incarnate Jesus at this point. And it says, because, in verse 30, and Jacob called the place of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, Peniel means face of God. Jacob said, I have seen the face of God. Now, just kind of touching again on this point, that this may have been the pre-incarnate Jesus that he was wrestling with here, because the Bible tells us no man has seen the face of God. The only face of that we've ever seen is the face of Jesus. So it's very quite possible that this was who he wrestled, because he gave worship there as well. And the Bible also tells us we do not worship angels. So any place where you find in Scripture that it says they worship the angel, they're talking about God himself, probably pre-incarnate Jesus. And I say pre-incarnate because we all think of Jesus as the babe born in Bethlehem and growing up into the Messiah who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. But he was in existence long before that. And he made his appearances throughout Scripture. So Jacob has said, bless me. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hang on. I know I used to hear about in church when I was growing, and I've not heard this term in a long, long time. People talking about persevering in church and getting down to business with God, and they say, you've got to pray, you've got to grab hold of the horns of the altar and hang on in there as you pray. That means persevere as you pray. Now, our altar doesn't have any horns on it, so that's a figurative speech, but you got to hang in there. You got to grab on and hang in there until you get that blessing you need, until you get that answer to prayer. Sometimes blessing takes that perseverance. We have to do more than just say, now I lay me down to sleep. In fact, for some people, that's basically their prayer life is, now I lay me down to sleep. And see, what's the old one for the food? God is great. God is good. Now I thank you for this food. And, that's the only prayers they know, We got to get down there and hang in with God sometimes. Do you ever get to that place where sometimes you really don't feel like you know how to pray, but you still got to hang on in there? I mean, there are some times when I'm praying, I say, Father, I just don't know how to pray now. I have to let the Holy Spirit take over and pray through me then, because I don't know how to pray. But God gives us the blessing if we hang in there. From the number of times that the word bless or variations of it, such as blessing or blessed, occur, which is 496 times in King James Version, God is trying to tell us something. That's what I would think. He's trying to tell us something, that we are a blessed people. We gave examples of some folks in the Old Testament that were blessed, but he's telling us that we are a blessed people. And I'm going to give you the key to blessing here. And I know some of you are going to, he's going to get onto something here that I don't want to hear. And I'm going to make a comment about this in just a moment. Malachi 3:10. How many of you know Malachi 3:10? Steve does. Rebecca does. Several of you raised your hand. You know Malachi 3:10. Some churches preach a sermon on Malachi 3:10 at least once a year, because it says this: bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And you say, he's going to preach on tithes now. I've always told you the thing I dislike most is taking the offering. I trust God to speak to people's hearts about what they can do. But this is what the Word of God has to say here. That if you bring it into the storehouse, he's going to bless you. Now I want to put a note here. I know that you can tune into radio and you can tune into television and you can hear some preacher say, if you'll send me $1,000, God is going to bless you and multiply your need, blah, 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 blah. And that's generally about the time I click. Because that's not what he said. He said, if you bring your tithe into the storehouse, he'll bless you. I want to read this here, and a little bit more of it, but I want to read it from the Tanakh. How many of you know what the Tanakh is? That is what would be commonly referred to as the Jewish Bible. Okay? And the Tanakh comprises three separate sections. The one we hear a lot about, Torah, which is the law. That's the first five books of Moses. Then it has a couple of others here, which is basically, and I have a little trouble sometimes with these words here, Nevim, which is the writings, and that'd be like the prophets, and the Ketuvim. I'm sorry, the Ketuvim is the writings, and the Nevim is the prophets. The writings being like Song of Solomon, Psalms. The prophets being like Ezekiel, Isaiah, the Chronicles, things of that nature. Here is what Malachi reads in an English translation from that document. Ought man to defraud God? Yet you are defrauding me. And I'm starting with verse 8 here rather than verse 10. And you ask, how have we been defrauding you? In tithe and contribution. You're suffering under a curse, yet you go on defrauding me. The whole nation of you, and I want to emphasize that, the whole nation of you, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and let there be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will surely open the floodgates of the sky for you, and pour down blessing upon you. And I will banish the locusts from you, so that they will not destroy the yield of your soil, and your vines in the field shall no longer miscarry, saith the Lord of hosts. The key in here that I want to point out, he's saying, is the whole nation of you is defrauding me. We in America claim to be a Christian nation. We've talked about this in the last few weeks, how it's no longer really considered a Christian nation because the percentage is less than 50% now that claim to be Christian in America. But the nation of so-called Christians has been defrauding God, and they've been withholding from God. They've been running around doing things that really they shouldn't have been doing. And God says, I'm not going to bless you when you're defrauding me. Obedience is the key to God's blessing. I bet some of you thought I was going to say, putting the money in the offering plate is the key to God's blessing. Sending that guy on TV $1,000 is the key to God's blessing. No, it's not. He says here to give your tithe, but it's obedience. If you go back through blessing throughout the whole Old Testament time in the New Testament where it talks about it, it is obedience that brings the blessing of God. We have to be obedient to God, what God speaks to us. If He tells us to do something, we need to do it. And it's not always easy to obey God. It's not even easy to obey somebody else sometimes because, hey, we're all different kinds of people. Sometimes it's hard to obey the boss at work. Yeah, I'll do it, but that person doesn't know what they're talking about. And we grumble and complain as we're doing it, and we may do it, or we just may not do it at all. And let's face it, folks, there's that little streak in all of us that sometimes we just don't want to obey. It's human nature that pops up once in a while. We don't want to obey. But if you want to be blessed of God, you've got to be obedient to God and what God speaks to you. Yes, be obedient in your giving. Be obedient in whatever God speaks to you. If that means doing something in church that you haven't done before, be obedient. If He tells you to speak to somebody about the Lord, be obedient. Whatever He speaks to you to do, be obedient about it. And that's what brings blessings. You see, the ones that were blessed here that we talked about, the blessing they got because they were what? They were obedient. Abraham got his big blessing because why? First of all, he left a cushy place to live. And went where God told him to go. And then when God said, take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him, he got his blessing more. Because he was obedient. Jacob, the great conniver. I mean, he basically robbed his brother although it wasn't too difficult, of his birthright, his blessing. And yet, when it came time, he persevered and hung in there until he obtained his blessing. Hanging in there sometimes as well. Sometimes being obedient is a tough thing to do. Being obedient means when Sunday morning the alarm clock goes off, getting up and shutting the alarm off and getting your shower, getting dressed and going to church. Sometimes it'd be much easier to turn that alarm clock off and close your eyes and go back to sleep. Especially if you had a rough Saturday for whatever reason. Now, I know sometimes things happen that people can't come to church. I know that. That's a fact. But a lot of times, folks are just stay home because I don't want to go. I told you the story the other day. I think last Sunday, as a matter of fact, and it bears repeating here, the lady went in to wake up her son. Get up. It's time to go to church. Son, get up. It's time to go to church. I want to go. Son, get up. You got to go to church. Those people hate me. Son, get up. You got to go to church. Why? Because you're the pastor. And even pastors sometimes have a hard time getting up on Sunday morning, you know. Sometimes maybe you have things that kept you up at night or whatever, but you got to be obedient. If you want God to bless you, be obedient to God. I believe God wants to bless His people. I believe He wants to bless His people, but He expects us in turn to be obedient to Him. And you know what? When it comes down to it, He really doesn't expect a whole lot out of us. Not really. It's not like that we become a robot then that just marches around, kind of like we're a zombie almost, and, you know, I must do this, I must do this, or whatever, you know. No, God lets us keep our personality. He lets us, he really leaves us a lot of latitude. But He says, we got to be obedient, though. Just obey what I ask you to do. Be obedient. If you want God's blessing, that's it. Be obedient. And in just a moment, I'm going to have a special prayer here, and then we're going to take communion. But I have a special prayer for the folks that are here this morning. Father, in Jesus' name.